Thank you for that special in song. I want you to open your Bibles to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 9 this morning. I think in a sense that song will go along with what I want to express if I'm able to this morning. Matthew chapter 9, we're going to start in verse 20. We're going to read down to about verse 26, and I'm going to take the earlier part of the portion as our text this morning. And Matthew chapter 9, first book in the New Testament, of course. And I want to speak to you kind of on the subject, called out from the crowd, called from the crowd. We find as we begin here in Matthew chapter 9, verse 20, and behold, a woman, which was diseased with an issue of blood, 12 years, came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. To preface this verses, a ruler had come to him, wanting him to come to see his daughter. And said, my daughter is even now dead. But seemingly this woman interrupted Jesus as he was on the way to heal the daughter. And it says in verse 22, but Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. And when Jesus came unto the ruler's house, he saw the minstrels and the people making a noise. He said unto them, give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. They laughed him to scorn. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. And the fame hereof went abroad unto all the land. Now I want you to see the setting here. Here's a woman in the crowd that seems to interrupt him on the way to something very, very serious. And it was a crowd. The last verse we said, the fame of him had spread everywhere. And so there was a big crowd that would follow Jesus. If somebody said he's here or he's there, the crowd would show up. And they gathered because they had seen or heard of his fame. Pilate, the Roman governor, and you've heard me reference the Roman records here in the last few months, said that everywhere Jesus went, now he wrote this in a letter to Caesar Augustus, he said everywhere Jesus went, there was a crowd following. Said he was outstanding. It brought attention to everybody. I wonder if you ever thought about this. Jesus was without sin. You know that. He died for our sins. You understand that. Do you understand when we say he was without sin, that means even the body he walked around in did not have the scars of sin on it like mine does and yours? Don't you think that would attract some attention? I think he looked different. I really do. I really do. And I mean, he was without sin. And so he did attract the crowd. And there was a crowd right here. Now, a lot of folks have painted pictures of what they think Jesus looks at. Take that, looks like, take it with a grain of salt. Even the old time artists, nobody painted his picture at that particular time. God apparently didn't let that happen. I think about the little girl in the classroom, and the teacher said, now everybody draw a picture, paint a picture, whatever you want, anything you want to. So she walked around, asked the kids, what are you painting? What are you drawing? Went to the little girl's desk, and the little girl said, I'm drawing a picture of God. The teacher said, well, honey, said, nobody knows what God looks like. She said, they will when I get through with my picture. But truth of the matter is, nobody does know. And the Roman governor there, he couldn't describe him either. But you know, he was outstanding. There's no doubt about that. And I imagine as this woman is lost in the crowd, her feelings, she don't think anybody cares. She don't think anybody knows. I mean, she's in there, she's hurting. She feels like everybody's around, but I'm by myself. Do you ever feel that way in a crowd? I remember when I was just a young kid, maybe 10 years old, I had joined the Boy Scouts, but I didn't look like a Boy Scout because I couldn't afford a uniform. So I was just in my regular school clothes, and we had a scouting jamboree, they called it, a camping trip where scouts went from everywhere, and they went down to Bok Tower, and we spent the night down at Bok Tower, and I was in that group. I pitched my tent with my neighboring friend, a little Jew boy that we were great pals, but he was not a country kid like me. And when we were unpacking our bedrolls, he come to the raw eggs that I had placed in my, and he said, "What do I do with these eggs?" I said, "Well, just pitch them in the tent." I didn't mean that literally, but he took it literally. And when we crawled in that night, we crawled into stinking, rotten eggs that had been in the sunshine on that tent. And we smelled a mess the next morning. And we had our break sometime around late morning or right after lunch, and they took us into the snack shop at the Bok Tower. Never been there before. And kids were all everywhere trying to get up and buy something and get refreshments. And I was standing kind of over in the corner, not that I didn't want anybody to smell me for one thing. Another thing is I didn't really have much money. I think I had a dime. And I was thinking, what can I do? What can I buy for a dime? You couldn't buy much even in those days. And I was just standing over there and looking at the rest of the crowd. I guess I looked pretty pathetic. I did smell pathetic. I know that. And a lady come up to me, a tourist that was in there. She come up to me and she gave me some money. She said, "Here, you go to the snack." Boy, I want to tell you something. Sometimes it helps to get a little pity, a little mercy. I don't know where she smelled me or what, but she thought I needed some help. But the truth of the matter, I was lost in the crowd. The crowd was everywhere. And I mean, I knew I was different. I was outstanding. This woman was lost in the crowd. And I want to deal a little bit here with why Jesus may have called her out. She thought nobody knew about her. Nobody knew how she felt. But here's the good news. Jesus knew. Oh, there was a big crowd, and they all had something to try to gain in mind and all of that. And I'm sure the crowd was pretty loud, and they were all trying to touch him in a sense. But she had some problems, and she'd already tried all that man could do. If you read this same story in Mark chapter 5, it'll tell you that she had this disease for 12 years, and she'd gone to all the physicians, and she couldn't get any help. In fact, she got worse. Anybody ever been there? Well, you went to all man's counsel, you tried it. Every place they said go, you went. Everything they said do, you did, but it wasn't helping. You were getting worse. That's the predicament she was in. She was hurting, her issue of blood for 12 years, the scripture tells us. And so here she was in the crowd. I'm sure if she had a right maybe to have a pity party, nobody cares. She'd received all the counsel, as it were, of the crowd. You know, today we're prone to do that. Listen to the crowd. Called herd mentality. You ever notice the cattle, when they stampede, they all run the same direction? Herd mentality, right? Or worse than that, group think. As the group thinks, so do I. Oh, it's refreshing today to hit somebody that thinks for themselves. It's refreshing today when you find somebody that says, "All right, I want to know what's right. I don't care what the multitude does. I want to know what's right." And that's kind of rare today. And maybe she'd been in that kind of crowd. Young people, listen to me. We've got this groupthink coming out of Hollywood, this Hollywood theology. You better let it alone. It's not Bible theology. And they're deceiving you every way. You say, "Well, so-and-so, he's popular. He painted his hair green or something else. And he's a trendsetter." Not my trend, bless God. And we're going to watch out for this business. Trendsetter. I think the theme song of hell will be "I Followed the Crowd" here. You ever hear that soul winner? You ever hear somebody say, "Well, if I go to hell, I'll have plenty of company"? You will, but it won't be company you'll enjoy. Yes, you'll be in the crowd, but the crowd can't help you. They counseled you till they got you there, but they can't get you out. Amen? And Hollywood theology today, you'd be surprised how many folks really believe the things concerning God from what they've learned from some dumb Hollywood movie that people that made it knew nothing. Amen. The truth of the matter is, we better watch it. You know what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, around verse 12? It says, they that measure themselves by themselves is not wise. Measuring themselves by themselves. I've called them the Mutual Admiration Society. I don't know who Oscar is, but they give a little image of Oscar. Who got the Oscar? Right? You got one group of play actors measuring themselves by another group of play actors. When I was a kid, we said, let's play like. We knew it wasn't real. You'd be surprised how many folks today don't know it's not real. And today they really do it because they punch the buttons on a computer, and even the images you see are nothing more but something on a small screen. All right, I don't have time to really teach you science, but Jesus here knew what she felt. She might have been lost in the crowd, even to herself and to others around her, but she wasn't lost to him. All others were bothering him, and a mob was following him, but there was one woman, and he knew about her. He knew how she felt, knew what her problem was, knew what her pain was, and he already knew her feelings. In Mark chapter 5, Jesus asked this question, same story. When she touched him, he said, who touched me? And his disciples began to rebuke him. And they began to say, in this mob, in this crowd, you ask, who touched your clothes? Why, everybody's touching you. That's what they were saying. Well, he meant something different. It was a different touch that he had felt. You know, many were trying to teach his clothes. You read through the Bible, you'll find out. Often in the crowd, people were mobbing him. They were trying to get close to him. But she knew that she had touched him differently. She and Jesus knew there was a difference. Knew there was a difference. Now, I want to say to you today, the truth is, Jesus is known about. He's known of. But he's not really known by too many. Too many in the crowd have heard about him. They may think they have seen something he done, but they've never touched him for themselves. Never touched him for themselves. I mean, there's a difference. You might shock you a little bit to know that the name of Jesus is spoken of often in saloons and bars and houses of ill repute even. Say, what do you mean? A lot of drunks on the bar stool talk about Jesus. Did you know that? I remember as a kid, old house I lived in behind the hotel. I remember a man that he worked hard. I think he was a good man in so many ways. But as it got near the weekend, he started drinking. And yet when he would get good and drunk, he could quote you more Bible than you could believe. He could tell you about Jesus. He knew about him. He knew of him. But he didn't know him in a personal relationship. He'd never been touched by Jesus, and he'd never touched Jesus. As a lost kid, I remember a long time before I ever got into ministry, I began to hear about how Russia is going to come in the last days with a coalition of nations from the north, and they're going to come down against Israel. And I remember hearing him talk about it, and I'd already picked me an island out here in Lake Laurie where I was going to escape to when they come. I was going to take my single shot 22 rifle and my bedroll, and I was going to hide from them. I had my plan, just as a kid. Do you know what? We're getting closer to his talking about that coming true. Somebody said on the news last night, we took some helicopters, knocked out one of the bad terrorists. That's good. That's good. But and I agree with the president when he said, let's bring our boys home. It disgusts me to see on TV with the missing legs and arms and all that. And I want to say, for what? Amen. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not a pacifist. And I think we ought to hit them back after 9/11. But I don't think we ought to stay there. Help yourself. Don't think we should have. Stayed there and tried to force them to accept our way of life when they hate our guts and put our tax money over. So I'm with the president, but and he's got a good motive there behind trying to get them home. But I want to tell him something. It's too late. Here's what I'm saying. We're not going to stop all the wars. They're building to the big one. They're building to that northern coalition comes down against Israel, and it's going to finally wind up, according to this book, this word of God, in the Battle of Armageddon. And we're not going to prevent it. It's written. It's written. It's going to happen. In the meantime, though, while all of that is going on, the answer to the world is to know the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, somebody says wars are religious wars. Yes, they are wars of deception. And when you deal with Islam, and that's all we've done, we're interfering with a religious squabble. Oh, yeah. One group of Muslims killing another group. Any policeman will tell you, don't ever get in the middle of a family fight. And that's what we've done. We're paying for that. Yes, I think we ought to hit the enemy when they hit us and all that, and I don't want to get off on that, except to say the Bible's going to be fulfilled, and if you think it's going to be good and there's going to be a time of peace only when Jesus comes back, because this world's out of touch with him. They're bad out of touch with him. This woman here was in a crowd that saw him. They knew about him, but they were not in touch with him. And that's still true today. The political liberals today, have you heard this statement? Many of them, I said, speak of him, but they don't know him. The political liberals today, they just don't get it. Yeah, have you heard that? They just don't get it. They can't get why Trump got elected. They can't get it that the country folks came out of the woodwork and said, we've had enough. They don't get it that we still are around. But we are. To the degree we want to, we can do some things about what is going on if we tried harder. They don't get it. If they got it, they wouldn't be talking about running Hillary again. All right, you can leave in a minute. The truth of the matter is, I want to really be in touch with Jesus. This woman here came out of the crowd. If you're going to be in touch with Jesus, you're going to have to come out of the crowd. You're going to have to come out of the crowd. It was an open confession she made. She knew something special had transported between her and Jesus. Something had been transferred in spirit. Jesus knew about her. And when she touched the hem of his garment, she created a different relationship with him than anybody else. Rest of the crowd, they didn't get it. They're still there. But in her confession of him, she touched him on the hem of the garment. You've heard me say this so many times. The hem of the religious garment that the high priest and the rabbis wore, it was like a prayer shawl. Went over the neck, down the body, and on the hem of it was the closest name they were allowed to write to the true name of God. And so when she touched him, she just didn't touch his coat. She just didn't touch his robe. She touched a special spot. She touched the hem of his garment. She was saying, I believe you are God. I believe you are who you say you are. That's why there was something special between her and the Lord. You'll never be right with Jesus till you recognize who he is. Till you touch the hem of his garment. You can stay in the crowd. You can see him. You can hear the talk. But do you have a relationship with him? Have you ever made an open... This woman made an open confession. I can imagine some rabble-rouser in the crowd saying who she thinks she is. But she knew something they didn't know. She had a communication with the Lord they didn't understand. He had a communication with her. I mean, I've seen this often in church. I've seen a crowd of folks set under my preaching or right out of the Word of God. You ever hear the Bible says one shall be taken and one shall be left? You ever hear that? Sure. Now, in context, that has to do with the coming of Christ, but it happens all the time in church. All the time. I'm up here preaching from the Word of God, and one is taken, and one is left. The same gospel went right through the same section. Some reached out and touched the Lord. Some heard the call and they came out of the crowd. Some had a relationship start, but it went over the head of others sitting right around them. Think deeply with me on this. This woman had a deeper relationship created with Jesus than the rest of the crowd. A relationship. I could personally speak to it, and many of you could. I remember when the Lord let me touch him with my condition, my lost condition. I remember it well. And I have never been the same because there was a relationship created. He's never failed me. He's always been there. I've messed up a few times for sure, not done all he wanted me to do, but I've never doubted that relationship. From that moment on, it's been real. It's been real. And I don't know who all was in the building the night I trusted Christ. I'm sure there were some others heard the same thing I heard and walked out just like they came in. But I walked out different. Oh, yeah. Alicia was singing a while ago. That's a song I love. Write me down as righteous where no righteousness existed. That's where the Lord reached in the crowd and he pulled me out and he said, you don't have any righteousness of your own. Take mine. Let me impute it to you. And I've had a relationship with him ever since. And the truth of the matter is, if you know Jesus, been born again, you've got that touch from him that will never wear out and never disappear. And one day it'll take you into that relationship. Whole world can't see it now. Crowd can't see it. They'll think you're nuts sometimes. A little humorous, but a fellow told me one time, said, well, I just think you got touched all right. You got your head cracked. I said, yeah, I agree with you. That's where the light got in. That's what you need. A good crack, let the light in. Jesus was the light. And I got a relationship with him I didn't have before. I wouldn't trade it for anything. So what does that relationship do to you? It makes me make the right choices. Makes me understand somebody else knows about me, knows my feelings, know what I need, and knows what's right for me. He's the one I counsel with, not the crowd. Not the crowd. I had to leave the crowd behind a long time ago. I remember it very well when my family even said, what happened? And when my friends, my race car buddies and all I was into, that was my crowd. They said, what happened? What happened? They didn't understand. It went over their head. Something deeper happened. A relationship was created they didn't know about. And I say to you this morning, you're in a crowd. Even in God's house, if you are touched by the Lord this morning, it may go over your best friend's head, your family's head. It may go over the head of the majority of people you work with, go to school with. But oh, to this woman, it was the answer. To this woman, it was what she needed. To this woman, it did what nobody else could do. And I want to say to you today, that's what he offers you. You're in a crowd in God's house. They may not understand, but is the Lord personal to you, private to you, real to you? Oh, then you're blessed. She was blessed to reach out and touch the hem of his garment. And you know what? He gave her a chance to make an open confession. She made it. She was in the crowd. She touched him. Nobody else noticed her touching him, but Jesus knew. And he said, who touched me? They said, what do you mean? He said, no. See, the scripture says he felt virtue go out. He knew something happened. Of course he did. He gave her an opportunity to openly confess him. He gives you that today. He gives you that today. You say, well, if I leave the seat and come to the front to get saved, I want to tell you it's between you and the Lord. We'll take a Bible. We'll show you how you can pray right, believe right, still between you and the Lord. You got to have that real, genuine relationship. He wants to give it to you. He says in John 10, my sheep hear my voice. Can you hear his voice this morning? My sheep hear my voice. And they come unto me. They come, as it were, out of the crowd. Something special. Special relationship happens. Oh, listen. You see through the Bible this thing happening. You see, when Jesus was baptized, there was a voice came out of the sky. And the scripture says some thought it thundered. But that voice said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. John the Baptist heard it. He was in touch with the Lord. Jesus, of course, heard it. You read in the Bible later on and you'll find out that Paul on the Damascus Road was struck down by Jesus and converted. But the crowd with him, they didn't get it. It went over their head. Some thought it thundered. Some thought it was a big noise. They didn't get it. Later on, you'll find out where Peter, James, and John, the closest disciples, was on the Mount of Transfiguration. And Jesus was transfigured before him. And Peter wanted to go into a building program as it was and build some tabernacles. And the voice out of heaven said, this is my beloved Son, hear you him. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Peter didn't get it. The crowd don't get it often. But do you get it? Do you have it? Special touch, that relationship. Do you hear his voice? Do you hear his voice? My brother and I were small on a little country farm. We raised chickens. It was our duty to look after them. We learned a lot about them. One thing I noticed was when an old mother hen would hatch out the eggs and the little chickens were born, I mean, there might be a dozen or more following the old mother hen. Another old hen over here with another dozen. And a hen over here with another dozen. And they're all over the yard. They're all mixed up. They all look alike. But you could step out there with a little bit of corn or grain. Or if the old mother hen found a good juicy worm, she would stop and she would cluck, 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 cluck. And all of her own would hear her voice, and they would come to her. The others didn't come because they didn't belong to her. But hers would come, every last one of them would come to the mother's voice. I want to tell you, when the trumpet sounds, there'll be a whole crowd that don't get it. There'll be a whole crowd say, what happened? There'll be a whole crowd say, I don't know about this. Did it thunder? Listen to me. Those that know him will hear his voice. Yes, we're going to be caught up, Bible says, with him. Together with him in the air. To forever be with the Lord. You know what? Most of us are getting old enough now. We've pretty well figured out this world don't hold a lot for us. There's not much else we need to do. There's not much else we care about doing. I just love to hear the Lord's voice. The one that wrote me down righteous where no righteousness existed. The one that I've had a special relationship with for years and years that the crowd don't understand. I was plucked out of that crowd. I want to ask you this morning, would you let Jesus pluck you out of the crowd? He gave this woman an opportunity to make an open confession about who he was. She touched him on the hem of the garment, saying, you're God. I know who you are. I'm sure the crowd didn't understand, but she understood. She heard his voice. She knew. I asked you this morning, do you feel Jesus in your heart saying, confess me, come unto me? Forget the crowd of your friends that you go to school with, your friends that you work with, your family or whoever. Forget the crowd. Let's you and I have something that goes over their head, something real, something genuine, a relationship. Oh, he offers you that this morning. He offers you that. You can leave that seat and come down the aisle and receive Jesus. You're saying when you come down to receive Christ, I believe he was God. I believe he loved me and died for my sins. I'm coming to him no matter who would hold me back or who don't understand. I'm coming to him. I want it real between he and I. A relationship that will cause me one day to hear his voice from heaven and call me up to forever be with him. That's what he offers you this morning. I pray you'll take it. Would you bow your heads with me, please? Father, we commit the invitation to you. Lord, I don't know how else I could say it. Father, what I've said is what I find in your book. What I've said is what I've experienced in knowing you personally. And Father, what I've said this morning is something I've observed as your preacher through these years, that the gospel can be spread over a crowd and everybody don't come, Lord. Many don't seem to understand. Many don't seem to know what's happening around them. They don't get it. But Father, for that one that steps out and comes and touches you on the hem of the garment for a special relationship. I pray for that one you've spoken to today. Oh, Lord, the woman knew you spoke to her. The woman knew what you wanted. These people right in this building, Father, right in this building and in Radio Land, they know what you want. You've spoken to them. I pray they'd say yes. I pray they'd surrender. And I pray as we sang a verse of song, they'd come forward to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that you would give them strength to do that today, no matter what they think about what the crowd thinks. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, please. I'm going to ask Brother Parsons to stand down here front. If you'll come down, tell him. Maybe Brother Perkins down here, one of these men. I'm going to stand up here for a little while. Come to him and say, I want to be in touch with Jesus this morning. I want something special. Maybe the crowd won't understand. Maybe they will, but it's between he and I. Will you come? As Brother Burt leads us in a song, will you come? Will you come right now? Will you do it?
Just as I
this woman stepped out of the crowd. Can you do that? Young person, can you do that? Or are you following the herd? You're going to run over the cliff of destruction with them. Come out of the crowd. He wants to touch you. He wants to save your soul. He wants to write your name in heaven. He won't make you, but he's waiting on you. He's waiting on you. Will you come?
Just
in the back, in the balcony, mom, dad, grandpa.
And wait.
Say, but I've been in church all my life, but it may have gone over your head. Have you ever personally met Jesus? Or do you just know about him? Just know about him. You know what? He was a miracle worker. He was. He fed the hungry. Yes, he did. But he was more than that. He was God come in the flesh to die for your sins. To write you down righteous, though you are not righteous.
Just
how about it this morning? How about it?
Tossed about with many a conflict.
Will you come? I'm going to cross over the street here just a little bit. Is your faith real, or is it mom's faith or dad's faith or your church's faith? But is it personal? Is it personal? Personal. A relationship with you and the Savior. Do you know? Is it real?
Just as I am, poor wretched, blind, sight rich.
As we continue to sing, will you come? One of these men right here will take you by the hand and pray with you and help you to make sure you've been in touch with Jesus. Will you do it?
To find, O Lamb of God, I come.
I didn't use this verse, but I'm going to. Lord brings it to my mind right now. Here in the 7th chapter of Matthew, You'll find where a crowd is going to come in the judgment day before Jesus. They're going to say, Lord, Lord, we cast out devils in your name. We prophesied in your name. And he's going to say to them, depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. I never knew you. I never knew you. Not did you go to church with me. Not was your family Christian or some of your friends, but you personally, I never knew you. I never knew you. Oh, that's the saddest words I can read in the Bible. For the devil has deceived some folks into thinking they're okay, but they never met Jesus. Never met Jesus. I'm going to ask we bow our heads, and I'm going to have one more verse of music. This is it for you. Did Jesus come by today and call you out of the crowd, but you refused to come? Did he? Did he? Has he done that before? You're in a crowd that knows about him, and many in here know him personally, but do you know him personally? Do you? I certainly pray that you do. All right. We're going to let you be seated and share with you. Okay. Pass it up here to me, please. Okay, is this Randy Perez? Randy, stand up here. We'll get the rest of the information. He's been saved and coming for baptism, Brother Perkins? All right, good. Do we have a motion to receive Randy's show of hands and so carried? Randy, they'll take you around that way and get you ready for baptism, all right? And while they're doing that, we'll ask the folks to, Brother Bert, I ask you to come lead us in something, please.
All right, in your hymn books, 441, Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tender care. Amen. 441.
Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tender care. In thy pleasant pastures, feed us. For our use, thy fold. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us, fine we are. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us, fine we are. We are thine, thou befriend us to thy. Seek us when we go astray. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, hear, oh, hear us when we pray. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, hear, oh, hear us when we pray. Thou hast favor. Early let us do thy will. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast loved us, love us still.
Randy Perez, upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and in obedience to His command, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, buried in the likeness of His death.
Well, Perkins, did you check these folks come in late right here? Huh? All right, good, good. Come to see him baptized. Good. All right, let's stand. Okay. Wherever the microphone is, Brother Perkins, take it and dismiss us in prayer, please.